Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Fort Laramie. Today is an important episode. It has Kathleen Height as its writer. It's only her second episode that she's written, but she basically pretty much takes over the show from here on out. Elise becomes the main writer. She does the next three episodes in a row, four of the next five, seven of the next 10, and pretty much within a few episodes after that starts writing every episode until the end of the run. So she definitely becomes the key writer of Fort Laramie. I hope you enjoy her voice in the stories. I think they're really well done. She does a fantastic job. She can turn in a script that's as intricate as Les Crutchfield's scripts and as gripping as John Meston's. She is quite the accomplished writer. So I hope you're going to enjoy this episode of Fort Laramie. And, you know, I was going to tell you a little bit about it, but I think I'll just let you experience it, and we'll see you next time.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Mr. Syberts! Mr. Syberts!
Yes, Captain?
We're wasting our fire at this range. Pass the word. Men are to flank the canyon, dig in, and hold their positions.
And their fire, sir?
Cease fire.
But they'll think we've quit, sir.
I hope they do, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir. Captain? What about your leg?
It's fine. Now pass the word, Mr. Syberts.
Right away, sir. Cease fire!
Gorse! Sergeant Gorse!
Yo!
Right here, Captain.
Give me a hand. Behind that boulder.
Yes, sir. Can you bear weight on that leg?
I can get behind that boulder.
Are you easy now, sir?
Don't know when I've been more comfortable.
If you're dry, I got part of a canteen here.
No, no, save it. You'll need it.
Captain, there's a clearing about 100 yards back. We got the horses back there. Harrison and me together would get you there.
I'm fine here, Sergeant.
Well, you'd rest a mite easier there, sir.
Maybe you ought to take up nursing, Gorse. You're developing a fine manner for it.
Well, sir, I reckon it's all this easy living. It's kind of got me soft.
Go back to your position, Sergeant, and dig in.
Flanking the canyon this way, you must be figuring them engines will try another run-through.
No use 40 men spreading thin against 200 or 300 Arapaho.
Yes, sir.
Go on back, Gorse. Send Lieutenant Syberts here.
Right, sir.
Lieutenant?
Lieutenant Sackett, report to Captain Quince.
You set for me, sir?
Men have their orders.
All down the line.
How about ammunition?
We've enough, sir.
What's enough?
Well, sir, I
enough
think...
to lead a charge down the canyon and run them off?
No, I don't believe so.
Enough to hold our ground here and stand off an assault?
That would depend on the size of the assault.
Mr. Syberts, there are at least 200 Arapaho firing what's left of our camp down there. I want to know if we can hold these positions.
Not long, sir. Not if they turn on us full force.
Then we don't have enough ammunition, do we, Mr. Syberts?
No, sir, I guess not. What do we do, Captain?
Sit here. Hope they think they wiped us out in their last run-through.
That why you ordered the men to hold their fire?
That's why.
They're riding off, Captain.
Don't look like they counted us too important, Captain Quince.
That a complaint, Sergeant?
No, sir. I was born plain insignificant. I mean to stay that way.
Help me get the captain back to the clearing, Sergeant. His leg needs
attention. Now, wait a minute, Mr. Syberts. We can't waste any more daylight. You have 6 hours of good riding left before nightfall.
Well, sir, you can't ride hard. You've lost a lot of blood.
The patrol's going back to the fort under your command, Mr. Syberts. Harrison and I'll take it in easy stages.
We can't leave you here,
sir. Mr. Syberts, you'll reach Fort Laramie tomorrow night, if you're lucky. Major Daggett needs a full report as soon as possible.
Captain Quince, sir, we could strap you in your saddle.
No need for that, Sergeant. I'd slow you up, and Major Daggett needs that report. Now, send Harrison to me. Prepare to move out.
I know this country better than Harrison, Captain.
Mr. Syberts will need you, Gorse. This will be good experience for my orderly.
Yes, Captain.
Patrol, report to the clearing. Check your mouth.
Well, good luck, Mr. Syberts.
Thank you, Captain.
Report to the clearing now.
Good luck to you, sir.
You're all played out, aren't you, sir?
There's fresh water ahead to the left there. That clump of trees.
You can't go on just water, Captain.
Well, it'll help. We can water the horses, too.
Not much sunlight left. I hoped we'd find a settler where we could bed down for the night.
This is Arapaho country, Harrison. They routed out most of the settlers.
They sure got away acting like they own the place, don't they? Running off white men.
They were here first. I guess they got a funny idea that makes it their land.
If we'd have had the whole company back there, we'd have run through them, sure. Showed them whose land it is.
Well, it would take an awful good company. Those were dog soldiers leading that raid.
Dog soldiers?
Toughest fighters in the tribes. Handpicked for the daring. Jote Mintanio.
How's that, sir?
That's the Cheyenne name for dog soldiers. But most Plains Indians have a select band like them. Sioux and the Arapaho.
Oh. Guess we were smart to take cover in that canyon, Captain.
Yeah, I guess we were. In through the trees, Harrison. Good grass there by that stream.
I'll be right there to lend a hand, sir.
Stand to steady me as I come over on this leg, Harrison. It won't bear weight.
Yes, sir.
All right. Oh, look, I got... oh. I guess I'm weaker than I thought.
Now, don't you worry, Captain. I got bull strength. Here, let me help you. Now, you just sit back against this tree. There. How's that, sir?
All right, Harrison. Thanks.
I'll get you some fresh water. You gone all white.
No, I'm all right. I'll ease those cinches and lead the mounts down to the stream and water them. Go on. I just need to catch my breath. Rest a bit.
I sure wish I could make you right comfortable, sir. in bed with food and all.
I know. Mind the horses.
Yes, sir.
Harrison. Harrison!
You awake, sir?
I shouldn't have gone to sleep.
You just didn't have no choice, Captain. Once you drank that cool water, you was plumb through.
What's that? Horses?
No, they're not making a sound, sir. I hobbled them before I set out.
Shh! Wait a minute. There's horses, all right. Sounds like they're riding this way.
Well, I sure don't hear a thing. Could be you got some fever, Captain Quince. Some folks hear things when they got fever.
You keep listening, you'll hear them.
Yes, sir. Well, what I was going to say was, while you was resting so easy-like, I set out and took a look around. There's a cabin, sir, not more than a couple of hundred yards away.
They're coming from the north.
Yeah, I can hear them now. Couldn't be cavalry, Captain. They move south long ahead of us.
It's not cavalry. Look through the trees.
Engines.
Dog soldiers.
Captain, we better make for that cabin.
No. We're better off here. The trees will hide us. Unless they already know we're here. Lie flat, Harrison. If they start through the trees, fire.
Can you handle that carbine, sir?
Yeah, I can.
They're making for us, sir. Sure we're seeing
them. Wait them out.
They're right at the tree, Captain.
Easy.
I'm sure not keen on them seeing me first.
Shut up, Harrison. They're riding right along the tree line. Going on south.
I can't make them out anymore. You see them?
Now they've gone on past the thicket. I can't see them.
Man, that was closer.
Still close. They stopped.
You want I should get our horses, sir?
I do not. Can you hear them?
They ain't moving as I can tell. I counted six, Captain.
Six. That cabin, where is it?
Near as I can tell, that's where they are, sir. It's that direction, not more than a couple hundred yards away. Oh, I tell you, sir, that's a welcome sound.
You were talking about a deserted cabin, Harrison?
Not a living thing around. Likely been that way for years.
Well, you'll have to near carry me. I can't mount again.
Just you don't worry yourself, Captain. I'll take right good care of you. Not 10 more steps. You can make it, sir.
I don't know, Harrison.
You just lean heavy now. We'll get there. You'll make out fine.
You come no closer.
Well, ma'am, there's no cause for shooting. We're your kind, white folks.
I'll judge about the shooting. What ails him?
He's all shot up and weak. Ma'am, I'm not even asking for a hand, but I gotta put him down inside.
Army?
2nd Cavalry, Fort Laramie.
Harrison, I think I...
Captain Quince! Captain, you all right, sir?
Is he dead?
No, ma'am, not yet. Would you just try to help? Put that shotgun down and help a body?
How are you on food?
Oh, tin of jerky, maybe.
Blankets? Shot? You got anything?
I got an awful sick captain here, ma'am. That's what I got. And I'm lifting him up right now and taking him in there.
How much money you got?
I don't know. A little.
Hand it over.
Once we inside...
I tell you, son, I'd as soon shoot the both of you as jaw this way. I want your money and your guns.
I don't rightly know how you stand yourself.
His money, too.
I'm bringing him inside now.
Not for long. For this little bit of money. You're another weakling, are you?
My arm's full of logs.
Put them by the stove and quit your whimpering. Soft bellies, a lot of you.
How is he?
Ask him. He's only pretending to sleep.
Captain?
You can't fool her, Harrison. Don't try.
Oh, you gave me a fright, sir. I wasn't sure you was going to come around.
I'll be all right.
She get the bullet?
Yeah. Yeah, she got it.
I see new cubs are tougher hide.
Captain, she took everything we had. Jerky, guns, money. What kind of white woman is she?
Best quiet him. I buried 4 husbands, 20 children. A couple of strangers don't faze me.
Better get some sleep, Harrison. She says you watched me all night.
You sure you're all right?
I'm fine. Now go to sleep. That's an order.
Yes, sir.
Four husbands, ma'am?
Outlived them. But they was men. Regular men. Didn't go around sirring every other man. And ma'am and women folk.
Yeah, they weren't in the army.
Yeah, indeed they wasn't. No call for the army in those days. Mr. Palfrey and me lived as peaceable as could be with the Indian folk. We come here peaceable, me and Mr. Palfrey.
When was that?
In the 30s.
Things are different then.
No different than with Mr. Griffith, Mr. Albright. Even later on with Mr. Netherton. Yeah, there was lessons to learn in the West in them days. Eat the porridge.
Much obliged, ma'am.
Hattie.
How's that?
Hattie, I say. Hattie Palfrey, I go by that. I can't abide being called ma'am.
Oh.
I lean toward Hattie.
Hattie, you live alone, middle of Arapaho country. How do you manage?
I come by your guns. Such little money you had. Sometimes it's food, sometimes robes. I'll take what I can get. No matter to me if it's settlers or scouts or army folks.
Or Arapaho?
Folks don't find Hattie less than they lost or half dead. It'd open your eyes to see what they part with.
You always greet them with a shotgun.
If need be.
Before we came here last evening, a band of Arapaho braves stopped here.
I got good arrows, strong bows, rifles. Even a couple of buffalo guns off a hunter broke his leg down the canyon.
They got a camp near here, the Arapaho?
You got something more to give me?
Harrison says you cleaned us out.
You're getting full measure.
What's going on? My ring. Hey, you can't have that.
But I got it. I ain't had a pretty for a spell, and that's a fact.
A man ain't safe sleeping here. I bought that ring myself in St. Louis.
Oh, it'll fit fine once I wrap some twine around it. Body's fingers thin with age.
Next you'll be picking my bones, you old buzzard.
Mind your tongue!
Give him his ring back, Hattie.
Not likely.
Captain Quince, what says you can't hit an old woman when she's so contrary?
Oh, for one thing, she's got a shotgun.
I'd soon use it as jaw with you.
You take his ring, you give us something, Hattie.
I do admire a pretty. Clean forgot the bright feeling they give you.
Our gun's for the ring, Hattie, that's fair.
I come by your horses down the creek this morning. They're grazing on my grass, swilling my water. The pretty's to pay for that.
Captain, I better see to them mounts.
You'll stay with the sick and ailing. I'll see to the horses.
You saying he can't leave the cabin?
Not alive, he can't.
Why, you...
She means it, Harrison.
I do that. Now, I've got tending to do. Outside. No need peering around for your rifles whilst I'm gone. You won't find them.
Captain Quince, we gotta move out of here.
Well, we need horses to do it. Here. You steady me.
You ain't fit to stand yet, son.
Just you stand still. Yeah. We'd have to crawl once we're outside anyway. I can manage to the door.
Like as not, she's just crouched out there waiting for us.
It's worth a chance. We may not get another.
Yes, sir.
Get the door. Get on your belly. Move small through this brush. Toward the stream. Can you see her?
No, sir.
Stream. How far is it?
A good 50 yards. Maybe more.
I don't see the horses.
Not yet, sir.
Flatten, Harrison. It's Arapaho.
She come out of those trees by the water, sir. She's talking to them Indians.
Don't even breathe. She's going back toward the trees.
Yeah. But they ain't a sign of our horses, sir.
No sense trying to go it without them. We'll have to go back.
To the cabin?
Without guns or horses, we're no good out here, Harrison. Come on.
What you reckon? She's done with them, Captain.
That woman, she might have eaten them.
I'll steady you for the walk, sir.
Give a lot for some of her strength right now.
You think I could find them alone?
Get yourself killed doing it? It's no good, Harrison. We'll have to wait.
You're just about as foolish as can be, ain't you? Crawling around in the brush out there. What's the idea?
Fresh air, Hattie.
You got no guns, no food. There's Arapaho all around. You don't think too good of your hides, do you?
Where are the horses, Hattie?
Your color's coming back some.
You heard the captain. What about the horses?
They come right high in these parts, young'un. I could get me a passler things. Trading horses.
You're real friendly with the Arapaho, Hattie.
They treat me good. Of course, they know Mr. Pelfrey and me come peaceable to their country. Not to run them off what rightly is their land.
You never seen them at the killing? White women, babies, no matter to them.
Ever ask yourself who started it all? I seen it happen. The whites and their guns moving in. Wasn't pretty work they did. Women, children, too.
They let you live here. It's got to be a reason.
He come here like you, full of shot, ailing. White men's doing. Mr. Pelfrey and me, we took him in, tended him. He was a young chief then. But standing bare, never forgot. Not in all these years. He's as near to a relation I got.
You're from another age, Hattie. You and Standing Bear.
You got anyone? A wife?
No wife.
Mother, then.
I got her memory. A pair of her earrings, that's all.
Not on you. I'd have found them.
They're back at Fort Laramie.
Oh, that's a pity. Yeah, that's a pity.
You think you can get the guns without waiting?
making her.
I can't make out good with no light, but I can fight an old woman in the dark.
Not long till sunup. This may be our last chance. Easy now.
Now that's just close enough. Stealing up on an old woman. What kind of men are you? I don't mind shooting. A bit.
You're a witch. That's what you are. Seeing in the dark, hearing. You're no kind of woman at all.
Maybe not now, young'un. But I was once. More woman than you could imagine.
Now shut up, both of you. Someone's coming.
Come earlier than I said.
It's probably them same Injuns again, Captain.
Yeah.
Now get back where you belong. Over there, to your beds.
Captain, I had my gun. I'd blow us all up before I'd let them take us.
I know. Maybe I'd help you.
She's out there right now, trading for us. You know that.
Get ready. Someone's coming.
Now, that side of beef will last me the winter and more. Gift for my friend, Standing Bear.
For us, Hattie?
Now then, you're worth a sight more than that.
They're riding off, Captain.
You sparing us, Hattie? For what?
Sparing you?
You didn't tell them about us.
They didn't ask.
You acting human so sudden-like, after near scaring us to death.
I ain't gonna miss this, young'un, that's a fact. I'd soon keep company with a bawling calf. I tell you, I'm bone brittle with you two around.
Well, we'd be glad to get out of your way. Trade for guns, our horses, and a cut of your new beef.
Been thinking about them ear bobs.
I've been thinking about our guns.
Under my bed. These two horses saddled at the spring. Now, them ear bobs.
They're back at Fort Laramie, Hattie. You mean to ride back with us?
I gotta watch who I'm seen with.
Yeah. Well, I might get back your way someday. If I do, I'll bring them to you.
For these old ears? Well, here, young'un. Pretties ain't for me. Not no more.
I'll take my ring, ma'am. And thank you. But I ain't even pretending to understand you.
If you was regular men, you'd find yourself a woman. Pretties don't belong on a man's hand, locked up at no fort. Now, us women folk, it gives us that bright feeling, having a pretty.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Sam Edwards, and John Daner.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Anyone who has ever been helped by the Red Cross can tell you how important help is when the need arises. And everyone who is a member of the American Red Cross can tell you how much deep satisfaction comes with knowing you have helped provide aid in an emergency. Make your investment in humanitarianism soon. CBS Radio urges you to join and serve your local Red Cross chapter. Your membership and your contributions make all Americans neighbors in a time of need. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
You get caught in the rain last night, Matt?
I never left the office, Doc.
I stayed home, too.
Yeah?
For once. Ordinarily, bad weather brings a rash of broken legs and babies with it. All out in the country somewhere.
You always told me living in the open's good for a man, Doc.
I said sun is good for a man.
Well, you'll get some sun next summer. And you'll complain just as hard about that.
When I think I could have an office back in Baltimore. Where nice, clean people come to see me.
Yeah, but nobody needs you in Baltimore, Doc.
They get sick there, too, don't they?
Well, I don't know. I've never been there.
You've never been? He's never been there.
Hello, John.
You wouldn't last 2 days in Baltimore, Matt.
No?
No. People are too polite and well-mannered.
Well, you teach me what it's like, Doc, but some other time.
Ah, there, now, you see what I mean? Yeah, that's what I mean. and Chester here. He could use a little refining, too.
Well, now, don't get carried away, Doc.
Good morning, Mr. John. Oh, Doc.
Good morning, Chester.
Now, what are you doing out here, Chester?
Oh, I got up early this morning.
All right, so you can sit on the porch here and watch the street like an old man.
I already swamped out the office, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, for the first time in 2 weeks. Maybe you ought to get up early every morning.
Mm-mm. I've got too civilized for that.
You got too civilized.
Wait a minute. You didn't get up at all this morning. You were still up.
Yes, sir.
How much did you lose?
Oh, I wasn't gambling. I was sitting talking to a little old gal I met, kindly keeping her out of the rain, you know.
We know, don't we? Oh, yes. And it sure rained a barrel last night, too, didn't it, Chester?
It sure did, Doc.
Who's this?
Some kid. I never seen him before, Mr. Dillon.
Do people tell me where I can find the marshal?
You done found him.
What's the trouble, son?
My name's Gildon, Andy Gildon. Just come up from Texas with a herd.
Oh, what's on your mind, Andy?
There's a man been shot, Marshal. An unarmed man.
What?
Up the river a ways, where we're holding the cattle. The trail boss shot him this morning before it got light. We put a guard on the boss.
What's the name of this outfit?
They're Star M cattle, Marshal.
Star M? Then Harley Burke's the trail boss.
He won't be for long. Not after this.
Now, Burke's a man of temper and he's pretty rough, but he's decent. It's hard to believe he'd shoot an unarmed man.
Well, he did, Marshal.
Is the man dead, son?
He's unconscious. Has been right along.
All right, let's get going, Doc.
That whistling man, Bobby Haggard, really started something. Tonight, we'd like to introduce a player piano that could have come right out of the Long Branch in Dodge City.
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
The more perfectly packed your cigarette, the more taste and mildness are released for you. Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, has an open, easy draw that unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos. Now, Accuray ensures an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Buy Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Man, Andy.
He's over yonder, behind that bush.
There's a lot of bush around this camp. Suppose you show me.
All right.
I'm going to talk to Burke, Doc. You let me know what you find, huh?
I will, man.
Hey, you the marshal?
Yeah, that's right.
Just look at the guard they got around Burke here, Mr. Dillon.
Uh-huh.
I set the men to hold him, Marshal. He ain't going to get away.
Now, who are you?
I'm Ruman, Jack Ruman.
You help run this outfit?
No, I'm just a rider. Well, someone had to take over.
All right, Ruman, you can tell those men to fall back now.
All right. Stand back now, you men. The law's here.
Stand back.
Now, hello, Burke.
Marshal.
Hey, tell me you shot a man.
Oh, he shot him all right, Marshal. And Hodges wasn't even armed.
I wasn't asking you, Ruman.
Well, you gotta hear the truth. Burke, he had done nothing but fight with Hodges the whole trip, on his neck about something every minute. Go on, you got to admit it, Burke.
I had no use for him.
You hated him.
He was lazy and no good. Of course I hated him.
Burke, I've known you a good many years. You're as rough a trail boss as there is. You're rock-headed and you drive the men as hard as you do yourself, and I've seen you be downright mean about it.
Could be.
But I sure never figured you'd shoot a man.
Yeah. Surprised me too, Marshal.
All right, tell me what happened.
It was raining. I'd been out with a guard. Only dry spot I could find when I come in was way over there by Hodges. I went to sleep, and he must have woke up and seen who it was. Then he come over and kicked me in the head. Hurt me bad, but somehow I got a bullet in him before I blacked out.
You didn't know he was unarmed.
What difference it make, Marshal?
Make a lot of difference if he doesn't live.
Doc here will know about that.
No.
Hello, Burke.
Doc.
Well, Doc, how is he?
He's dead.
Burke?
I know. I'll get my stuff together and come with you, Marshal.
Who's going to boss this outfit now?
Oh, Andy Gillen.
Andy? He's just a kid.
His pa owns this herd, Marshal.
Oh.
What do you want, Burke?
Andy, your pa sent you on this drive to make a man out of you.
Working for a murder?
You're boss now. Sell the herd, pay off the men, and get the rest of the money back to your pa. Can you do that? I'll be right with you, Marshal.
Fine boss he was. Hey, Ruman, let's start moving them cattle downriver.
Righty. Let's go, you men.
Well, what do you think, Doc?
Well, Matt, that man Hodges was shot in the head. and by somebody who was lying on the ground.
Oh, Burke admits doing it.
Then I guess he did it all right.
Yeah, but there's something he isn't telling me, Doc. And knowing Harley Burke, I'm going to have a hard time finding out what it is. Oh, hey, Sam.
Yeah, Marshal?
Bring me a beer, huh?
Why, sure.
Evening, Marshal.
Ah, hello, Roman.
You get Burke down to jail all right this morning?
Yeah, he's in jail.
Ever I seen a man earn a hanging, he's it.
Huh? I take it you don't like him, Roman.
We got along just fine, Marshal. Hey, you ain't seen Andy Gildon, have you?
He's been sitting over there with Kitty.
Where?
No, there he goes out the door. Looks like he's pretty drunk, too.
He is drunk. Been hunting everywhere.
Here you are, Marshal.
Oh, thanks, Sam. I think I'll take that beer over to the table with me. Hello, Kitty.
You sure take your time, Matt.
No. What's wrong?
You saw me sitting here with that drunken kid. Why didn't you come over?
Well, Andy Gildon may be a kid, but his pa owns the Star Inn, and Andy's now boss of the outfit.
Mm. I heard all about his pa.
Yeah, he must be a rich man.
And he wasn't talking about his money.
Oh?
He hates him, Matt. I never heard anything like it.
Oh, why?
The old man's too strict, probably. Like sending him up the trail just to make a man out of him.
Yeah. Now that hasn't hurt him, Kitty.
Matt, I think that boy'd kill his pa if he had a chance. All he talked about was how he'd like to get back at him. What are you staring at me for?
What? Oh, I'm sorry, Kitty. I was just thinking.
Thinking about what?
I'm glad I talked to you, Kitty. Maybe now I can find out what Harley Burke's holding back from me.
I sure don't understand you, Marshal.
Oh, why not, Burke?
Come in this morning, turned me out of jail. Now you're taking me down to the stock pens. What for?
Well, I thought you'd like to know how young Gildon made out with the sale of those cattle.
I think you're lying.
Now, there he is with that fellow Ruman again. They seem to be pretty good friends, don't they?
I guess.
You just won't tell me anything, will you, Burke?
I'll tell you anything you want to know, Marshal.
Oh, yeah, sure. Morning, Andy.
Yeah.
Roman.
What's Harley Burke doing out of jail?
A man gets cramped in there. I was walking him around a little.
Well, I ain't gonna be seen with no murder. Andy, I'll be my room at the Dodge House should you want me.
Okay.
Now, did you sell the herd, Andy?
I sold it.
You get a good price?
It's no business of yours, Burke. Not no more.
Now, we can always find out from the agent, Andy.
All right. I got $20,000, payable tomorrow.
$20,000's a fair price. Your pa'll be pleased.
Why don't you take it to Mr. Bodkin at the bank tomorrow, Andy? He'll give you a note for it.
I don't need no bank. And I don't need no advice either, Marshal.
Now, look, Andy, you can't carry that money home in cash.
Why not?
Nobody does. There's too many jayhawkers and bushwhackers waiting along the trail. Now, you know that.
I don't know nothing. Except you can leave me alone. Both of you.
We're only trying to help, Andy.
I'll do my job, and you do yours, Marshal. You go hang Harley Burke.
Well, Burke?
Well, the boy's kind of headstrong, Marshal.
That's all you've got to tell me, huh?
That's all.
All right, then let's get back to jail.
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your kitchen, getting ready for Sunday supper? Maybe in your living room, relaxing? Or out driving? Say, be sure and watch the road. But remember, there's pleasure ahead when you smoke Chesterfield. When you satisfy yourself with Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. You see, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. A more perfectly packed cigarette gives you an open, easy draw that unlocks all the better taste and mildness of fine tobaccos. And Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, is more perfectly packed, with an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Remember, to the touch, to the taste.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Buy Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Sure are in a hurry, Mr. Dillon.
I want to find Andy before he talks to Reuben Chester. It's been over a half hour already.
Well, here's his room. If he's in it.
Yeah, well, let's hope he is.
Who is it?
Open up, Andy.
What do you want now, Marshal?
Your gun.
Here now. What are you taking my gun for?
For Chester to hold on you while he's walking you to jail.
Jail? Well, you're talking crazy, Marshal.
Keep your voice down. Now, here's his gun, Chester. And you put him in a fire cell. And you keep him quiet, huh? Real quiet.
I understand. Come on, get moving.
Ow! Now, look here.
You don't shut up, I'll lump up your head with this gun.
You can't arrest me. I ain't done nothing.
Get moving.
You can't do this.
Of course I can't. Keep walking.
Hello, Marshal.
I'd like to talk to you, Roman.
Sure, money.
Roman, have you seen Andy Gildon in the last half hour?
For sure. You was there at the stock pen. Why?
Well, a few minutes ago, he was seen leaving town, riding north.
So?
I saw him myself. He was riding awful fast, Roman.
A lot of men ride out of town, Marshal. Maybe he's got a gal out the country somewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, what you thinking?
I was with the agent who bought the Star M herd.
Yeah?
He got the $20,000 up today, and he didn't have to wait till tomorrow.
Say he was headed north?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Texas is south of here.
Stealing that money. Stealing it from his own paw.
Looks that way.
Well, ain't you going after him, Marshal?
Well, he's a Gildon. I kind of look on it as a family matter, Reuben.
And I'm going after him.
No, you're not. You go after him, there'll be a fight. Maybe a killing. We'll let his paw worry
about
it.
I'm going after him, Marshal. You can't stop me.
Can't I, Reuben?
Here, Marshal. You got Burke back in jail?
Yeah.
Well, I got something to say. And I want him to hear it, too.
Cells are out back, Roman, through that door there.
All righty.
Burke, Roman's got something he wants both of us to hear.
Roman, huh? Well, I've been waiting long enough.
What do you mean?
It was you who kicked me in the head and shot Hodges. You know what you're gonna say?
It was not me done it.
Of course it was.
No, don't be a fool, Burke. What'd I get out of it? I don't hate old man Gildon. I don't want to steal his money.
Nobody stole his money.
You mean you ain't heard?
Heard what?
Andy got paid off for them cattle today, and he rode out of town headed north.
He did, huh?
And what's more, he told me he killed Hodges.
He's lying, and I can prove it.
Shut up, Andy.
They tricked us. Andy, they tricked us. They got us crossing each other.
Roman killed him, and I can prove it.
Oh, I'll kill you for that.
Roman!
Chester.
Yes, sir.
He got him all right. Got him right in the head. He's dead.
Yeah. What'd you let him do that for, Marshal?
Well, he wouldn't have talked if I'd have disarmed him, Burke. I had to take a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you did.
Maybe if you had talked, none of this would have happened.
Well, I knew I didn't shoot that man, Marshal. But I knew the only way I'd ever find out who did was to just wait and see what they was after.
Well, you knew they were in it together down at the stock pens. You knew they were going to keep the money.
Yeah, but I didn't know which one was the killer.
Well, it doesn't matter much now. Andy's dead and Ruman will hang anyway. But why were you protecting the two of them? Why did you take the blame?
Because I was afraid it might have been the kid that done it. Old man Gildon's the best friend I got in this world. I couldn't never have faced him if I'd brought his boy up here to hang.
No. I understand the boy hated him.
But he didn't hate Andy, Marshal. All he wanted was for him to be a man.
Well, something went wrong with that.
Sure did.
Burke.
Yeah?
You did all you could. When the old man hears the whole story, he'll know what a good friend you've been.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobacco.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Firm and pleasing to the lips, Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, one of the most unpopular men on the frontier was the peace officer. Most everyone felt that they had some reason to dislike him. But next week, a man arrives in Dodge who wants to be Marshal. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were William Idelson, Lawrence Dobkin, and Vic Perrin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Smokers, this is it. L&M filters. So good to your taste, so quick on the draw.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
Relax with L&M. So good to your taste, so quick on the draw. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.